Turn with me into Exodus. Yeah, we're in the Old Testament all day today. I should know we're going to be in the New at the end, but two places in the Old Testament talking about watering and stuff. Be thinking about this and let just kind of, if you don't try to figure God out and you allow the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to you, certain church services are easier. Hello, I'm up here. A lot of times when we go to church, or like I said before, I've been blessed to be at conferences and everything, we can come into church or we can come into meetings with a critical spirit. And I know you guys don't have it, but for your family members that have may walked into church that have critical spirits, just there's no place for that in the house of God. Just everything, you just gotta go, you know what, I'm here, I'm only gonna be here probably an hour or so, and let God be God in your life.
That's right.
Just let the, I don't know what could happen if you let the allow the Holy Ghost to wash over you. You could get happy, I know that. You could get healed. You could start a new relationship with him. I don't know what really could happen if the church really believed that the God of the Bible resided inside their lives. Man, that would be powerful. All of us just vessels believing in the power of God today. Amen. So from Exodus 17, it's pretty saucy. It's pretty saucy. And I got a brand spanking new King James Bible, and I just am so thankful that God gave it to me. So I wanted to break it out and let it breathe a little bit. So don't get mad. That's just flowing from the pulpit here. Amen. And all the congregants, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandments of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. So there, we'll start there and pause there, because that's an issue, Lisa. If you don't have water, you life can't be sustained. And if you don't have living water, you won't live forever. So anytime you're reading the Old Testament, be assured that it's all referencing Christ, his kingdom, and things to come. If it hasn't happened yet, it's fixing to. Just say that to your neighbor, it's fixing to. If it hasn't happened yet, it will. And listen to what's going on here in verse 2. It says, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water. So let's stop for a second. So when it says chide or chode, as it goes on, chide just means, how do I say this? They're criticizing the leadership. They're critical of him. They see, people like it when leaders are leading in the right direction, but as soon as they screw up, they're ready to hang him. So listen to this story here. It says, so when you see chide, if you're reading King James, just, and it means that they're aggravated with him, they're correcting him, they really have critical spirits about it. And you guys probably work with that person that has critical spirits, some of you. Or your employees may be critical of you, and they say, do you ever have somebody come up and they said, here's what you need to do. Your kids, they would tell you how to parent. Amen. Mom, all we want is soda and candy. We don't need to go to school, and we want you to become a short order cook for us. How about this? No, no, and no. Say this with me. When you get your house, well, first of all, you have to get a job. And after you get a job, then you can get your house. Then you can run it however you want. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Tell your neighbor not to get mad. Don't get mad, because I just started. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. You'll say this to your kids many, many times. You know, all this. So here it is. There was no water there for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide. So here we go with this again. So with this chiding thing. Moses said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? So they've been delivered out of slavery. They're not happy about that. I don't know if I was out of bondage, or I was out of jail, or I was out of slavery. When I walked out, I would raise my hands, I'd kick my heels up and go, I'm a free man now. Nothing can get me in a bad mood. Amen. Nothing can get me in a bad mood. It's just a matter of times before human beings start working on human beings and everybody starts to be critical. You know, misery loves company. We like getting around people, and if you're not in a bad mood, if you hang around that bad mood person, you'll get in one. Sometimes we just need to be happy and just hang around good people. Say that with me, good people. I'll just be honest with you. I can't stand being around stupid people. I mean, I told you about that John Wayne shirt. It says, life is hard. It's harder when you're stupid. I mean, I didn't say John Wayne did, so take it up with him when you get in glory. And that's just a funny. Don't get all worked up over it. Watch this, though, in verse 3. It says, burger, and the people thirst there for water. And the people, what does it say after that? The people murmured. We got out of slavery. And, you know, this journey would only took about 11 days probably. But they murmured so much it took 40 years. Did you ever go back? I mean, you guys don't have teenagers that do this, but people that go to other churches that have teenagers, and you're like, go cut the backyard, and it takes like 4 days. I mean, it's like, did you finish this? And you're like, well, not yet. And I used to, you know, when I run a construction company, I used to go to my guys and say, did you finish? They go, well, we're not quite done. All we lack is finishing up. And I go, well, how do I build that? If it's not finished, it's not finished. They murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this thou it has brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? So now they're out of captivity and they're headed into the promised land, and they don't like where they're at. They're in the desert. Say that with me, desert. That would be like you guys buying expensive tickets to go to Florida. You get on the beach, and after you're there for 17 minutes, your kid goes, it's too hot here. Can we go back to the hotel? Amen. They're murmuring. You just spent everything. You got your credit card maxed. And you're like, you know what, child? Murmuring while they're on the beach. Isn't this where you wanted to go, Florida? Here we are. Let's go back in the hotel. They murmured against Moses, and we're laughing at it, but these people are saying the same thing to Moses. We just got you delivered out of slavery. He's to kill us and our children and our cattle. Verse 4, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. So he said, they went from loving you, you know, to get you out of there. And then the next thing you know, they're ready to stone you. You know, it's kind of like coddling people. You can never make some people happy. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod. So remember, this is important. Thy rod, wherest thou smote the river, where you touched the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand there before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and this shall smite the rock. So we know that he means tap the rock, hit the rock, and there shall come out water out of it. So remember, this is very important, because when I get into Numbers, it changes just a little bit. So he goes over and he says, tap the rock. And he said, I'm going to supply the water, the living water, for everybody there. And so we know that this is a type, because the Old Testament always refers to the Testament ahead of after this. Listen to this. I will stand there before thee upon the rock of Horeb, and it shall smite the rock, and there shall come out water come out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So they're questioning if the Lord was even with them. So this is a type. So the rock, say this with me, the rock is Jesus. So this is thousands of years before Jesus comes. The rock is Jesus. And when they tap the rock, what went forth is not only physical water, but living water of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus was beat unmanlike and he was crucified on the cross, and 3 days later, remember that on the day of Pentecost, what came forth out of the rock of Jesus Christ was his Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord, your living water is evident, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New. It's pretty easy to understand that you're the rock. You're the bedrock. You're the cornerstone. You're our all in all. Forgive us where we thought that we could do it on our own. Forgive us where we thought it was about us. Forgive us where we murmured and criticized biblical leadership. And Lord God, bless the people today, all who are watching the broadcast, those who are here. And we pray for a revival of sorts today in the hearts of the people that have Bible. Bless the offering today, Lord God, as it goes forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's applaud the Lord. Let the basket come by. Hallelujah. Turn to Numbers with me. And Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. So just remember how history repeats itself. Big Steve, sometimes, can I say this? Sometimes human beings are hard to make happy. Do you ever go through, our kids are grown and gone, except occasional grandkids are, you know, in the car or whatever. You ever gone through like a drive-through at like a McDonald's or a fast food restaurant, and you got your kids in the back, or you're not used to having kids and they're in the back, and like, hey, Lisa, we want a happy meal with extra cheese and lettuce and no pickles, and we want chicken nuggets, and you pull up to the thing, and you roll with it because you don't have them much, and you're trying to be like the good uncle, big good aunt, good grandpa, grandma, whatever. And you're like, and this kid's rattling on and on, and the teenager or the 20-year-old who's taking the order can't hear a thing, so they got to repeat it again. You know, why are you trying? You're like, what is it that you want? And I'm like, man, when you go to McDonald's, you ought to know what you want. I mean, pull through there. I mean, you can only dress a burger up so many ways. Right? Amen. I mean, I want to order a fries. You know, and then after a while, you start to order for them. And then when you get it in the car and you hand it back to them, they don't want to eat it. This has got pickles on it. It's got mustard on it. Hand it up here to me. I'm either going to wipe the mustard off or wipe the smile off your face. Or I'll just eat it myself and you'll go without. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Same in Numbers. They're going through the drive-thru again. Same dang thing. But these are adults that are in this context here. They're representing the families. But you'll find out that whether you're pulling through a McDonald's drive-thru or you're walking in the desert, the murmuring and the short memory is very evident. I thought that going out to eat used to be a treat. Do you remember when going out was a treat? Now in 2024, it's a lifestyle. Amen. It used to be a treat taking someone out to eat. I it was for me in my house. We didn't know anything about going out to eat. Never have. or soda. Never knew anything about soda. Just remember, we'd go pick my mom up from work, and she worked part-time, and she would come out with an RC Cola. Oh, man. And when she'd come out with it, I was just, she would let us all, the kids in the back, have a drink. I thought I hit the lottery when that thing, she'd hand that back to me and have lipstick all over the top of it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here today? Things used to be a treat. Your kids didn't believe they had it coming to them. You don't have it coming to you. We don't owe you anything. You live in our house, we provide for you, and everything's set, and all you got to do is wake up. Same here. Same exact text here. And we're just a couple chapters along in another book. Same writer. Let's see what happens here. Let's see if history repeats itself. You know it surely does with human beings. Then came the children of Israel. I'm in Numbers verse 20. Even the whole congregation into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. So here we go. We go back to this. We go through seasons where people have these short memories and they forget that God delivered them, God saved them, God delivered, you know, their marriage. They took care of all these things along. And then you end up here and you go, I can't believe, like, somebody's sitting in my seat. Boy, man, there's a crisis right there. I mean, if he's sitting in the seat, man, I'll probably have to go to another church now. I mean, the audacity of someone sitting in my chair. Right. Don't we like to make it mine? It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. This stuff is mine. This is all mine. No, it's not. None of it's yours. Amen. We need to get over ourselves. None of this stuff is yours. You're going to be handing it off to somebody else later. That's the message here. So here it is, and the people chose. So here we go in verse 3. They showed it with Moses. So they're criticizing Moses again, spoke with him. Would God, let me see if I can do this like in a kid voice. Would God that we had died when our brothers died before the Lord, and why have you brought us out of the country? So here we go with this whole pitch again. And you're just like, man, you know what? I've only been to Six Flags twice in my life. And I know I need to repent, but listen. When you're sitting in line with the kids, and they still have the markers there where you're like, you're an hour and 45 minutes away from this. And you just get dumber. Your IQ drops when you just walk through them. Hi, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a while. Do, 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 do. And you get there, and after they ride the Screaming Eagle, that was when I went, when they opened up the Screaming Eagle. And it was when dinosaurs roamed the earth. Here's the deal. And your child that's with you says, I didn't care for it that much. And you're like, oh. Same right here. These people have been there. They've tasted God's goodness. They've been delivered out of poverty. They've been delivered out of slavery. They're free people, and they're wandering God's earth, and he's provided for them thus far, just like God has provided for you. You know he's going to take care of us from here. Don't get mad at God if we go through seasons. So he said, why have you brought us out in the wilderness to die? Verse 5, and wherefore have ye made us come out of Egypt to bring us into an evil place? Is it no place? So he's asking, is there no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates or neither there any water to drink? So he's given them water before, but now what they want is they want Fiji water. Walmart water's not good enough. You know, here, or smart water. You know what I thought about smart water? The guy that invented smart water is smarter than the... It's smart that he did that. Because he's filling it up with a garden hose and putting a wrapper on it. Amen? There's nothing smart about that. But we continue to carry on in these things and hope that somehow these things are going to make us better or prettier or smarter or thinner or more radiant. All these things, nothing will make you glow like being born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing. So he said, verse 6, Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregations that fell down on the face, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. So they're coming into the tabernacle, coming into the church, and going, God, hey, we're here again. You know us, Moses and Aaron. Kids out back, they're grumbling and they're murmuring again. As a matter of fact, they're ready to stone us. And he goes and he gives these leaders some advice. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thy rod. So here it is again, same thing, right? Take the rod and go out and do all this kind of stuff. Let's read exactly what is said here. Take the rod and gather thou assembly together, thou Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock. So instead of this time tapping the rock, we speak to the rock. Just like you and I, whenever we need something from the Lord, we speak to the Lord. We don't need to beat him again. He's already been smitten once and for all. So if you're to hit him twice, that means you want to continually, habitually, intentionally, willfully sin. And what gushes forth out of the rock is the living water of Almighty God. And that's the power of his Holy Spirit. So you don't have to smitten the rock again. We don't have to beat Jesus again. Listen to how the story goes. He's already been smitten once, right? So here's a foreshadow of Jesus to come. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door in the tabernacle and fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spoke unto them, saying, take thy rod and gather thy assembly together, thou Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye into the rock before their eyes. Okay, so I kind of explained actually what this is. And it shall give forth its water. Just say amen. We love that. Let's see if we follow directions here. Let's see what it is. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So he told us what to do. Here's how we're supposed to do it. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. So there's going to be enough water for everybody. So Janie, when you get there, there'll be enough for everybody. Don't worry about it. Here's the deal. And Moses took the rod before the Lord has commanded them, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation. What did they say when they gathered the congregation together before their eyes? He said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. So he's talking down to the congregation. He's talking down to the congregation. And basically what he's saying is, me and my brother are going to fetch water for you. They left God out of the equation. Say, oh my. So God's given us all the answers. He's given us his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He's given everything we need. And then when something good takes place, we take credit for it. But when it goes bad, we blame God. We want credit if we lead somebody to the Lord. We want credit if somebody gets healed. But if somebody dies, we're going to blame the Lord. And what we say is, what kind of God? Isn't it just like human beings? Always want credit, and you're just like, well, here's the deal. I don't want anybody to know this, but. Amen. I don't want you to know I was up here late last night. Don't tell anybody. I was mopping the floors late last night. I don't want anybody to know. Okay, I won't tell anybody if you don't. Steve, I gave a little extra in the offering plate. I don't want anybody to know. And I don't want this to go on Facebook, but, I mean, if you think it'll help the assembly, if it'll help the congregation, go ahead and film me. But if something goes bad, I can't believe that God did that. That's what's going on right here, right now. Listen to this. Ye rebels must fetch you water out of this rock. And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod and smote the rock, not once, but twice. And that's exactly what we're doing where we're not following God's order. We're sinning against Almighty Jesus Christ and putting him back on the cross again so he has to pay for our sin because we want to do what we want to do. Oh, my. And guys, let me tell you something. In 2024, it's not just the world that's doing it. It's the church that's doing it too. We shout hallelujah on Sunday, but we go and live however we want to live, and we want God to pick up the slack. But when we finally kick something, we go, woo, willpower. It wasn't willpower. You just finally came to God and figured out you couldn't do it on your own. Right, rise up with me. I got one other place we're going to be going to in 1 John here. But just listen to this. And I just want to set you guys up for success here today. I'm just kind of, you know, you'd be thinking about Aaron and Moses, and you think about this rock, which is Jesus. You think about the Holy Spirit, which came to us, the Holy Ghost, on the day of Pentecost, and is readily available for all those who ask for it. And we don't need to beat Jesus again. He's already paid the price for our sin one time and one time only. And all you have to do is ask him to save you. All you got to do, remember what he said the first time? He said, speak. The second time, speak to the rock, because he's already been beaten once. Amen? So if there's something in your life that you need, you don't need to put Christ back on the cross. He's already seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit's available for you and I to lead, guide us, and direct us into all things that are good. So all we have to do is ask for these things that are going on in your life today. So stay with me. I'm gonna Verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because he believed not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this. Oh my gosh. You shall not bring this congregation into the land. Hold on, Bruce. You mean we're not going into the land? Can you imagine being at church every Sunday, giving to the offerings, helping Sunday school? And I'm preaching here week in and week out, talking about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, God drops a bomb on you and says, you guys are never going to enter the promised land. So these people, I believe that some of them actually got to see it, but they never got to go in it. And you guys already know this, because we live under grace, and God would never do that. But it's not gravy grace. And you can actually, when you come in church and you get goosebumps and you see people crying and tears of joy and the music playing and everybody shouting about Christ and all that, you're seeing the promised land lived out through the people who are Holy Spirit filled. I couldn't imagine coming into church year after year, Mr. and Mrs. Copeland, not ever seeing the church alive and vibrant. People leave here all the time, here or Moscow or north or wherever I'm at, and they just go, you know what, I'm not saved, but I'm gonna do it later. I mean, like they're helping God out. We're gonna help God out. Here's the deal. What you need to do is you need to yield to the Lord today. Not only do you want to feel the promised land, you don't want to just see the promised land. You want to live in the promised land. I got to explain this, and I didn't do this at any other service, but I want to tell you this. Pastor Aaron was driving through an influential neighborhood the other day. He's taking his daughter to a basketball game over here, and we're driving through Ladue, where there's all the mansions everywhere you look, just beautiful homes, wonderful beautiful homes. I love doing that. There's so many beautiful homes there. And his daughter said, he says, Dad, are there going to be mansions like this when we get into heaven? Man, what? Out of the mouth of babes. Oh, I haven't got to the good part yet. Hold on. And she was driving through there. And she says, do you think that Grandpa Rankin has a mansion like that?
And he told her, he said, yeah, he's got one. And then here's what she said. She says, I want to live in one with him. I don't know about you, man, but forever's a long time. And let's just be honest, though. Some of those homes over there are just gorgeous. Don't be mad at rich people. I love rich people. They employ a lot of people. Love them. I love the mansions. I love the manicured yards. It's okay. I don't live there, but I love it. And I don't live in the kingdom in the sky yet, but I'm going to. And here's the deal, Kelly. I'm taking as many people as I can with me. I want everybody to have a mansion. Do you got loved ones that are already up there? And what would you do if your child was riding in the car with you when you're out sightseeing and said, I want to live in that. I want to live in that mansion with Grandpa. Oh, what a joy. Can you imagine that? Not you living in a great big old mansion, Terry, all by yourself, and your kids never made it in? Oh, we got a tragedy, Dave. If our kids aren't going to live there with us, we haven't really done our job. In a sense, I mean, we're to tell them. I mean, we can't save them. But I believe by the lifestyles that you guys live, I believe your kids will want it. They're going to live in a great big old mansion in the suite by and by. I want all my family there. And there's no reason to murmur or complain or be critical. I told people the antidote for being critical and murmuring is go down to the children's hospital. Oh, I wish somebody was listening to me today. I told that story. I have a whole new respect for life after you've lost one. You've lost a loved one. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? It's a long walk from the hospital room that your daughter passed in all the way to the parking garage. Are you okay? That's a long walk. Carrying a little pink backpack. We don't need to murmur. You got it pretty good. But this is about the sweet by and by. So beans, as I want you to be there, I got to tell you the address. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't tell you how to get there. And I'd like to tell you that it's very simple and all you got to do is just come to church and then by proxy you'll end up getting saved. You come to this building doesn't make you a Christian. You giving up your life and turning towards Christ and accepting the free gift makes you a Christian. So for all of us that are getting closer to the age, it's more, you know, I was thinking about that for our older congregation who was here before I was here. They wanted to make sure that this church was reaching people for Jesus. What a gift. They're in the church here today. All of them. I know who you guys are. I don't know how they even believed upon a church like ours to come in and help out. I guess they had faith. And that's what you're going to need to get in heaven is faith. You just ask Jesus today, just say, I want to live in that mansion that's bigger than the ones in Ladue.
And here's the deal. We don't have any mortgage. The debt has been paid. Tell your neighbor the debt's been paid. Now, would you like to be born again? Would you like to have a mansion in the sky? If that's you, I just want you to reach out to God and say, I want you to save me, God. Just say, wherever you're at, just save me. Maybe you're saved, maybe you're not. I don't know what's going on. Just, I want him to save me. I want him to save me. I want a mansion in the sky. I have found out today through the Word of God, I'm a sinner. I've recognized that. And the only remedy for sin is a Savior, and his name's Jesus. Oh, Lord, he can save you. And I just want to have the, I want to have the saints just join me down here. They want to spread the good news. They want to get out and do some watering today. They just want to do some watering. I'm gonna pray for you. I just want to pray for you today. Do you guys know what you hold in your being? You hold the greatest power in the whole world. You're a container. This is biblical. You're a vessel. You're a fragile vessel, but you're a vessel of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul calls it a fragile. It's like a jar of clay, or he also calls it a tent. Don't get too worked up over the flesh. It's not that great. But what's inside is wonderful. It made you new. It made all you guys new. You're different than you used to be, Brent. Hallelujah. Praise God for families like the Travis family, Phillips, Sheehan's, Burgers, all you guys. Hunt family, Wood family, all you guys, all wonderful. You're just carrying around with you the gospel of Jesus. You're just going to share it with somebody today. Just say, I came to water, whatever you have. My brother Randy and his friend. Right there, brother, I love you, man. He has church on a dirt floor in a country that's far, far away. He said, I'm so happy. He goes, I've been thinking about being at your church all week. I'm glad you're here today, brother, to share the gospel with us. Hallelujah. 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 The gospel knows no boundaries. So, Father God, I want to thank you for the saints that are here today, the honest folk that have been baptized in the gospel of Jesus, that they take this message and go forth. And through your power and through the Holy Spirit, Lord God, we know we can win a lost and dying world. So charge us where we stand and heal our land as we turn back to you. We pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus. And God's assembly said, amen. Amen. Let's shout to the Lord today. Hallelujah.